across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
And tonight, the best in political professional wrestling is coming to you live from the VFW Hall in Apopka and the Chamber of Commerce, Apopka Political Hobnob. The Hobnoblins are out in full force tonight, and the American adversaries are here to give it to you straight. Thanks to AM660 The Answer and the Mercury Free Studio. I'm Lair Adams, hobnobbing with you folks. And this is crazy. The Supreme Court has unanimously spanked President Barack Obama on his bare butt. No, sir, young potentate. You don't get away, or you don't get any more power than what is granted to you. In essence, saying, because of this and your poll numbers, every game of golf you play increases your impotency. Our host is the opposite of Viagra for this president. And with him soon coming up, a fantastic friend of our show. Here he is, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so very much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the American Adversaries
it's
in Drive Time
here
on AM660 The Answer. And we are not coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. We're coming to you live, as Lair said,
courtesy
from the Apopka VFW Hall, courtesy of the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. We got a big show lined up for you here tonight, folks. We are live. The crowd is building here pretty rapidly now as the official 5:30 start time comes up. A lot of candidates here and a lot of people from the public, it looks like, are here too. You're welcome to come on down too as well. $20 to get you in and get you a vote in the straw poll tonight. Colonel Danny
Great
McKnight
crowd.
Will be, yep, it's just the beginning of the build, too. Colonel Danny McKnight will be joining us here momentarily, and we've got a lot to talk to him about. And also tonight we have Ed Klein, of course, the author of the brand-new book, Blood Feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas. And I've got my copy, and I've been thumbing through this thing and reading it, and it's some really great stuff, folks. You're going to want to get your hands on this book. And, of course,
He's
you can do that.
Too.
That's right. You can do that today. Because we're going to give away another free copy, and we've got a trivia question lined up, and we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. Just wait until I prompt you, and we'll give away that copy of the book by Ed Klein. And as I said, we're going to have him here shortly. In the meantime, like I said, the crowd is just beginning to build here, so please come on out if you get the chance and join us here. And Lair and I are right up here on the main stage, and Colonel McKnight will be up here with us as well. We hope to see you down here.
And this is a chance to make a real statement too, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. David Smith is going to be here tonight. I understand Congressman Mike is going to be here tonight. We're going to try to keep them apart, you know, so they don't wrestle on the floor. We also have Terry Seafelt is here. A lot of great Brian Nelson is here. A lot of great candidates are out here running for the office in this part of the state. But before we get to Colonel McKnight, I want to talk about a couple of what I believe was, and I'm not saying that I predicted this in any way, but I think it just legitimizes what I've been saying over the past few days, and that the Republican Party should attack Barack Obama's, let's just say, overextension of presidential powers via the courts. And the Supreme Court today has given the conservatives, I believe, two significant victories. As with anything in the Supreme Court, you know, it's never really black and white. You know, you never really get all of what you want. But certainly two unanimous decisions against liberal causes is cause, I believe, for a little bit of celebration.
Well, and it was the unanimity of that vote, too, that that threw everybody, I think.
Yeah, 9-0 votes. Each vote, first of all, it was the Massachusetts law, which had set up a barrier around abortion clinics to keep abortion opposition away, people who oppose abortion from talking to people as they go in and out of the clinics. The court said you can make some arrangements such that people aren't harassed or prevented from actually entering the clinic, but you cannot set up these buffer zones. Also, the court decided 9-0 that the president, as we have been saying for months, years now, overstepped his constitutional authority, in particular with these recess appointments to the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which, by the way, they've made now hundreds of decisions based on these illegal appointees, which are now in question and probably going to be invalidated. And the
four, they would have to be.
The four appointees no longer have jobs on the NLRB, thanks to this morning's decision. Now, it did leave the door open for recess appointments, but it said that the president could not, upon his own volition, decide when Congress, or the Senate, that is in recess.
Which is exactly what he tried to do. He tried to say, well, I'm declaring them in recess.
Right. And most constitutional scholars said at the time that that was, you know, a bad decision, because basically what he's going to do now is limit any president's power to make recess appointments. And certainly that's what has happened in this case. Now, two more very significant decisions are going to come out Monday, and they will come out at 10 a.m. Monday Eastern Standard Time. The first one is the Hobby Lobby Conestoga Wagon decision having to do with religious freedoms and not having to provide abortion care under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
And the Amish, correct?
The Hobby Lobby is an independent corporation, and Conestoga Wagon is the Amish, exactly. And by the way, on Tuesday's show, we're going to have Steve Gushov with us to discuss all of these Supreme Court decisions. There was a significant Supreme Court decision yesterday which limited the police's rights to go through your cell phones and smart devices if you're arrested. And so they have to get a warrant in order to do so. So this, three significant conservative victories in the past 2 days. That actually makes me worried about what we're going to hear on Monday morning, because, you know, the Supreme Court oftentimes, once again, tries to split the baby. And I hope that that's not what's going to happen in that Conestoga Wagon case. There's going to be a significant decision coming out Monday having to do with public unions and what they can do in order to represent their members and force people to become members of the union. So that's going to be happening Monday as well. So big, significant decisions from the Supreme Court today, I believe. Even though they did leave the door open to recess appointments, they said that Barack Obama had illegally overstepped his bounds as president of the United States. And I believe that this is just a portent of many things to come. We talked about Senator Ron Johnson's lawsuit that he filed against Obamacare yesterday on the show. I believe that they're going to be a lot, and of course, John Boehner is now going to file a lawsuit. And Colonel, if you could sit right there on that side of the table, please, where we have the microphone set up for you. Colonel Danny McKnight has joined us here now at the VFW Hall. And of course, you folks who normally listen to our show need no introduction to Colonel McKnight, but some of you may not be aware of who he is. Colonel McKnight is battalion commander of the Rangers, Somalia. You may know him from the movie Black Hawk Down. Tom Sizemore played his character. And of course, Colonel McKnight is our defense and military and foreign policy expert here on the American Adversaries, and he joins us every month. Colonel McKnight, thanks for being with us tonight.
Yeah, sorry. Rain, traffic, you know, what can you say?
And look at this crowd.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Colonel McKnight, while I have you here now, I want to get right down to business with you. By the way, Colonel McKnight has written a great book called Streets of Mogadishu, and you can get a copy of that book by going to DannyMcKnight.com. Colonel McKnight, for months now, we have talked about the decision the president made to not leave a residual force in Iraq. we now, and you've basically predicted what we are seeing happening right now in Iraq. Two questions. First of all, tell our audience, would 20,000 or so United States troops and personnel have been able to, would they have been able to prevent what's going on now? And second of all, is what the president is doing, putting about 300 special ops forces back in there, is that a good first step?
Well, the prediction I made, you're right. I said it was when we pulled everybody out of there, we did the worst thing we could have ever done. And that has come to true be true now with what's going on.
Sure.
I think you probably only needed about a 10,000 soldier element there, because then those people that started in Mosul and places like that, these bad guys,
right,
they would have stopped real quick. And 10,000 would have stopped it. They would have never got to where they are today.
That's my point. In other words, we would have, quote unquote, nipped it in the bud.
Absolutely, and we would have been able to call in air, because we'd have people on the ground to call in airstrikes. We don't have them there now, so we've got to figure out how we're going to. They talk about using airstrikes. You got to have people on the ground to do that.
Wasn't also a significant purpose for the American troops to be there, and we're going to have to go to the break, so make you answer quickly if you can, to apply political pressure on the politicians as well?
That was part of it, but wasn't successful, because we never got a status of forces agreement with them, so therefore we leave.
In other words, we lost the political leverage as well as the military leverage when we pulled our troops out.
By not getting the SOFA agreement, that was a big deal, but you know what? We didn't get it because the president didn't want one.
Right.
Our president didn't want one. It gave him an out.
Absolutely right. Well, we're going to take this out now to take the break. When we come back, we'll have more with Colonel McKnight. We're going to have Ed Klein, and we're going to have a winner to his new book. So stay with us. Okay, welcome back, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And thanks again for being with us. We are out here live at the Apopka VFW Hall for the Chamber of Commerce Hobnob. And the place is getting pretty crowded up here. So, folks, come on out. It looks like it's going to be a good time tonight if you're into this sort of thing. All right, I'm Christopher Hart along with Lair Adams and Colonel Danny McKnight. We are here live, and we're going to have Ed Klein, the author of Blood Feud, on here momentarily. But in the meantime, I want to pick up the conversation with Colonel McKnight, because we're talking about Iraq. Colonel McKnight predicted the situation in Iraq for months on our show now, explaining how the decision by the president to pull our forces out of Iraq was a huge mistake. Colonel McKnight, my other question, do you think that what the president is doing now is in any way going to be a help to stabilize the situation in Iraq?
No, and I need to add one thing to the other piece we were talking about. The other reason I think if we had had a 10,000 soldier element there, I think the Iraqi army would have been much more willing to fight than to run like they ended up doing. And, you know, a small number of them, you know, really stayed and fought. I think they would have said, gee, we got the Americans here with us. We're okay. We will fight, you know. But they didn't. And I think that was another thing. Do I think the president's doing the right thing? No, I don't think he's doing the right thing. Once again, he's doing the wrong thing. You know, we send 275 over there to protect an embassy. Why don't we just evacuate the embassy and get everybody out of there safe and sound and get that over with? And then we send advisors over there. You know, an advisor cannot carry a loaded weapon. They can only have ammo available if they have to get into a fight. They are not sent there to fight. They are not allowed to have a weapon that is ready to fire.
And individually, I mean, collectively, I mean, when you put all this together, this guy has no ability to impress the rest of the world that we're going to do anything we say. He's ruined it for us.
Every time we have got in a situation like this, it was Syria, you know, now it's Iraq, you know, et cetera. He always talks a real big game the first couple of days, and then he says nothing. What has he said lately about what we're going to do? Nothing. He sends advisors over there.
Oh, he's not going to be George Bush.
Yeah.
That's it.
Colonel McKnight, given what's happened already and the fact that this ISIS group seems to be very well organized and have some pretty good, unfortunately for us, decent leadership, and each day that passes, the situation is harder and harder to remedy. Is Iraq lost?
It's real close. It's real close. If something doesn't significantly happen right away, it's gone, and I'm afraid if I had to say it's gone or not, I'd say it's gone.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're talking with Colonel Danny McKnight here at the VFW Hall in Apopka for the Chamber of Commerce Hobnob, and you're welcome to come out. $20 will get you in and get you a vote in the straw poll.
All those men and women.
Yeah, that's one thing. I was going to ask you that, Colonel McKnight. Yeah. You are obviously still in contact with a lot of, you know, military personnel. What's the feeling that you're getting?
Well, I'll give you one of the easiest examples. There's a young former staff sergeant, United States Army tank commander, had his tank blown up, an Abrams tank. The turret was blown off the thing. It was so powerful. Two of his men died in that tank that day. He lost his right arm, his right leg, and had a traumatic brain injury. Monday, a little over a week ago, right after Iraq happened, and you know the ISIS was taken over. He chose to go to see his pastor at his church because he needed help to try and get this in position. I was out of town at the time, and he is a perfect example of he lost a right arm, right leg, a traumatic brain injury. Two of his soldiers were killed in a tank. And what for now? What for? And that's what they're all thinking. Why are we letting this happen when we made a difference over there? We gave them a chance to survive and be a real country.
I'm glad you brought that out, because Carl Jackson pointed out on our show Sunday night that because of what's going on in the Middle East right now, we have more refugees, some 50 million of them, since World War II. We had the situation well in hand over there. The war was won. There was peace. There was a political process. There was a standing army now. Everything was happening right. And yet we turned our back and walked away, and here are the results.
You know, and think about a few examples. If I am correct, we fought a war in Europe called World War II.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we still have forces in a lot of those countries over there, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And it's pretty safe over there, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah. I think in the country of Korea, there's a North and a South Korea now, and the South Korean is the free country over there.
Where we have troops.
And aren't we still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, I think the example was pretty easy to follow, but I guess when you're an idiot, you don't really understand the example, do you?
Touche. That was going to be my next question, but since you've already answered it, let me move.
The problem with that is freedom is choice, and that's what these people are hopefully fighting for, what we gave them, and now it's being taken away.
Well, yep. Absolutely. Once again, folks, you can be a part of the show tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. When we get Ed Klein on the phone, we'll go to him to interview him about the great new book, Blood Feud. Colonel McKnight, in Ed Klein's book, he talks about how the president is he doesn't talk about the indecisiveness of the president, which I think we're all quite well aware of. But he talks about practically every decision the president makes. As soon as he makes it, he begins having doubts about his decision. What kind of leader is that?
That's basically a leader that doesn't know what he's doing, and therefore he makes an initial decision, and then he starts getting feedback from people, and then it's like, wow, maybe I didn't do the right thing. There's been more wows I didn't do the right thing in the last 2 years than I can imagine has ever happened in most administrations of two terms of 8 years. It's one right after the other. It's happened in Afghanistan, it's happened in Iraq, it's happened in Syria. I mean, you can just keep naming one right after the other. What do you think about Egypt and Libya? Do you think he looks at those as successes? My Lord, what a failure both of those countries are right now.
Colonel, don't they call that depth of character? Where you have enough depth that you know you pick something, well, you go after it.
In his case, it'd be lack of depth.
No,
of
that's
character.
What I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about here.
And it's called experience and having a background that puts you in a position to be the president of the United States, of which he had none of those qualifications. He still has not developed any of them, and he surrounds himself. The worst thing is he surrounds himself with incompetent people who cannot help him make right decisions.
He's the attractive puppet.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Matter of fact, Ed Klein talks about that in his book as well. So it's very impression of you to have said that. Once again, folks, you can get this book. It's on the shelves now. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it at Costco. Of course, all the regular outlets. And we'll have a free one to give away in our second half hour of the show. Colonel McKnight, Also, before we finally leave the discussion about Iraq, the last time that you were over there, what did the Iraqi people, what kind of feelings did they have toward the United States?
My contact with them was actually even long before the Iraq War ever occurred. But I can tell you from talking to so many of the soldiers that have been there, they really felt pretty comfortable when they left there that they had made a difference and that those people appreciated it and felt like they could move forward. So they really did feel like they had been successful. The soldiers had. The country felt better about it. But when we left them alone, we made the biggest mistake that's been made in the last 100 years.
All right. And obviously we're on the verge of making that same mistake in Afghanistan.
You're right. It's getting closer every day, isn't it?
It sure is. Folks, we're coming up close to a hard break. When we get back, we'll continue the conversation with Colonel McKnight. But let me just remind you, we are live this evening at the VFW Hall in Apopka for the Chamber of Commerce political hobnob. Got lots of candidates here. I see a lot of them showing up. And we also have a lot of members of the public here, young and old alike. And
this is great.
Yeah, do come on out. It's a great turnout. It's a great building. Very nice building up here, by the way. You'll get a chance to meet Colonel McKnight and also see us. If you get here in the next half hour, you'll be able to see us do the show right up here on the main stage. And we certainly hope that you'll come out. I even see our man Aubrey Kahn over here. He's even dropped by to visit with us here. So maybe we'll get a word from him or so when we come back. We'll be continuing the conversation with Colonel Danny McKnight. I want to talk with him a little bit about Afghanistan. I also want to talk to him about the prisoner release. I understand Colonel McKnight was on Fox News voicing his opinion about the prisoner release here recently. So we'll get him to voice his opinion on our show when we come back from the break. Well, we do have a hard break, so don't go away.
Yes, kind of like the worst used car buyer in the world, huh? Hey, I'll give you this for that. Doggone it. Folks, American Adversaries will be back. We're having a great time down here.
What? All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We're driving down the road and keeping our hands on the wheels. And we're here at the VFW Hall in Apopka for the Chamber of Commerce Political Hobnob. So come on out. The thing's just now officially opened at 5:30, so you're welcome to come on down. It's going to go till about 7 o'clock tonight. A $20 ticket will get you in, and it'll also get you an opportunity to meet all these candidates who are set up around the room, sort of exhibition hall style. And it will also get you a vote in the straw poll tonight. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. But welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time. We are here live. We'll be back tomorrow night in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. But don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free Dentistry, call Dr. James Hardy at 407-678-3399. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We're also being joined by our military and foreign policy and defense expert, Colonel Danny McKnight. Of course, of the Black Hawk situation in Somalia. And Danny just told us that our dear friend, Ed Ganster, is in the hospital tonight. Ed Ganster, of course, founded the OS 91, Operation Safety 91.
A wonderful hero.
He absolutely is. And he really goes, you know, overboard. I don't want to say overboard, but he goes the extra mile in bringing appreciation to our first responders, be they military or civilian responders. And we certainly want to wish Ed Ganster well. And please, folks, say a prayer for Ed Ganster. He's a great man. And his wife, they're both just so really great people.
Wonderful people.
Ed and Mary Ganster. Yeah, so
we love him dearly.
Yeah, so we want Ed to get well and get well very soon. Unfortunately, we have just found out, Nostra Dennis has notified me that Ed Klein is having a bit of an emergency this afternoon. So Ed Klein will not be able to join us to discuss his brand new book, Blood Feud. I've gotten my copy, and I can't wait to talk to the guy. So we're going to try our hardest to rebook him. Of course, he is in great demand right now. Having said that, we still have a free copy to give away. So let's do that right now. here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to give you a question. If you have the answer, you'll call 407-774-8255, and Nick will take your call. And the first caller with the correct answer will win the free autographed copy of Ed Klein's brand-new book, Blood Feud, The Clintons versus the Obamas. And it's got some pretty good pictures in it, too, by the way. I think you'll find the book very enjoyable. So here's the question for tonight. What did Bill Clinton call Barack Obama that became the title of Ed Klein's last book?
I know.
All right. What did Bill Clinton call Barack Obama that became the title of Ed Klein's last book? And without saying the answer, we've been kind of talking around it in the last segment with Colonel McKnight when he was talking about this fellow with inexperience. All right, so if you know the answer to what did Bill Clinton call Barack Obama that became the title of Ed Klein's last book, call 407-774-8255. If you're the first caller with the correct answer, you've got a copy of the brand new book.
And Chris, this Hobnob, I got to tell you, it is very successful. This place is packed. Yep. And more people coming in the door.
Streaming in as we speak. Colonel McKnight, I want to talk a few minutes about Afghanistan because you've been to Afghanistan most recently a couple of years ago. What is the feeling amongst the military in Afghanistan? Do they see a similar situation with Iraq, that if we can keep a residual force there, we can actually keep the peace such as it is in Afghanistan? Or is it just sort of treading water over there?
Well, right now, I think with what we've seen happen in Iraq, I think the military perspective is probably worse than it would have been, because what they're thinking is, my Lord, if this happened in Iraq, and they had accomplished so much, are we going to end up doing the same thing and walk away from Afghanistan? And, you know, they're talking about, you know, reducing the force. They're reducing them right now as we sit here, as you know, already bringing the numbers down. And I think the future goal of the president, President Obama, is to do the same thing, leave nothing behind there.
Well, Colonel, it's almost like you understanding the something that President Obama understands nothing about, that power is to be respected. You don't fritter your power away. You don't use it improperly. But you always let people know you have the power to do what you say. And this man, he's all talk. And every time he talks, he shows he's not willing to back it up.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think President Bush, when we went to Iraq and when we accomplished what we did over there, I don't think in his wildest dreams he would have ever thought the president that followed him, whether it was Barack Obama or Joe Schmo, I don't think he ever, I don't think he ever expected them to walk away from there and leave it empty. And I know he didn't in Afghanistan. I can't see how President Obama will do anything different than what he's done in Iraq. Why would he choose to do it differently there? Yeah. You know, I don't think he will.
As a matter of fact, in July of 2007, George Bush basically laid out for President Obama the path forward in Iraq. He said, keep a residual force there, and when the military says it's go, then you go. Until then, they need us, and if we leave too early, and then he went on to basically predict what you have predicted, which is what we see happening before our very eyes. But since you guys have kind of gone back to Iraq, I want to ask you something I meant to ask you earlier. A couple of Fridays ago, or I believe it was a week ago tomorrow, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, and I talked about it on our show, where not only did we find chemical weapons in Iraq, but they're still there. They are still there. Is that your understanding, that all along there were chemical weapons found, and we did dispose of some, but some we did not dispose of because it is too dangerous to move them?
There were chemical weapons in Iraq. There is no question in my mind about that.
Okay. WMDs for all you folks out there.
And the weapons that weren't found, a lot of them, the reason we didn't find them was they were in a country called Syria. Because remember, the UN had this guy named Hans Blix that ran around for 15 months over there trying to find them?
Yep.
He didn't find them. That gave them all the time they needed. They moved everything to Syria. Well, now Syria recently had all these weapons, didn't they? The chemical weapons stuff that the president said they're going to take. All they're doing is moving them back and forth across the border, you know? And so were they there? Yes. Are some of them still there? Yes.
And now they are in the hands of ISIS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my understanding that, according to the article, it was a chemical weapons factory and then also a cache of the weapons. I understand the factory has been destroyed, but the weapons are still there. And they're now in the hands of the enemy.
Yeah, the bad guys are going to get them. Exactly right.
All right. All right. Well, let's move ahead. The prisoner release. These five guys that were released, quote unquote, for Bo Bergdahl. First of all, I caught wind that it may not have been actually a prisoner exchange, that Bo Bergdahl was probably ransomed. And then matter of fact, by the way, we spoke with Colonel Oliver North a week ago this past Tuesday on our show. I name dropped your name, and he said, "Oh yeah, I know Danny McKnight. He's a great American." Hello and great American to you from Colonel North. But he's of the same opinion, and that is that that Bo Bergdahl was ransomed. We paid a ransom to get his release, and that these five prisoners were released just as a show of goodwill. Your thoughts about the whole thing?
My thoughts about the situation is it is one of the worst things that could have possibly happened in that war in Afghanistan. We took one American soldier and said, we want him back, and we'll give you five of the guys that you can choose. And they chose the five guys they wanted, and they got the five they wanted, you know?
Give us Barabbas.
No, that's right. And of course, those five guys have got to stay in Qatar for a year. I wonder who's going to be their monitor to make sure they stay there, you know? And then we'll say 14 months then, they're going to be developing plans to hurt us again. Now, that's the sort of the bad part right there. That's it. Now, the worst part of it all, though, is Bo Bergdahl is a deserter. He may, in my opinion, if they want to investigate it properly and get the statements from his fellow soldiers, he should be charged with treason and be treated as a traitor, because some of those guys that died trying to find him died because he allowed it to happen and he gave information out. There is no doubt in anybody's mind that he shared information with the bad guys on how the tactics were that they were using.
Voluntarily.
Absolutely. Why did he learn their language and made it want to look like them?
The fact that he survived the ordeal the way he did, I think volumes about, you know, what was going on.
What a great word you just used. When you become a prisoner, or when you are shot down or something, there's something called SEER, S-E-R-E. It stands for survive, evade, resist, and escape.
Yeah.
He survived. He didn't do any of the other, did he?
I guess he didn't. No,
no.
That's for sure.
He is a traitor.
And do you think, now you're a man in the Army, and we know sometimes in the case of the Army, they don't want the bad publicity, let's just put it that way. Do you think that there will be pressure, especially from the White House, not to investigate this properly?
I think the White House has become so quiet about it because of that exact reason. But I can tell you it's going to be investigated. I don't like the chairman, General Dempsey,
yeah,
but I don't think he's going to have a choice. He's going to be pushed where they have to investigate this thing. And I think in time it's going to come out. And I was on a radio show the other night, and the mom and dad of a lieutenant by the name of Andrews, who was one of those killed trying to find Bo Bergdahl, I had time to talk to them. Believe me, it's going to be investigated, because they will not allow it not to happen.
Now, Colonel, can the president commute a military sentence?
Yeah.
He can't. Okay.
Yeah.
I was afraid of that.
Well, he's the commander-in-chief.
That's the bottom line. Exactly. He's the rankingest guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that yet, though.
All right. I haven't gotten anything from Nick, so I can only presume that we do not have a winner yet. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Congratulations to Jason from Orlando. He knew that the answer was the amateur. Barack Obama was called by Bill Clinton the amateur, and that was the title of Ed Klein's last book. And evidently, according to Ed Klein in his new book, Blood Feud, Bill Clinton basically reminds President Barack Obama of that very thing pretty much every time they talk. I mean, this relationship between the president and former President Clinton really is of a feud nature, and it is not
Does
polite.
Anybody like this guy, Chris? Think about it.
Well, you have to understand that these two guys have the two biggest egos and the biggest, you know, inflated senses of themselves of anybody ever to Harley to come down the pike.
Yeah. And their wives do too.
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's a match made in hell. You know, I'm telling you. But the point being is that this is the way liberals in general are. They have this huge inflated opinion of themselves and their knowledge, and it's beautiful to watch them in competition with one another, you know?
I know. You're right. It really is. It's almost sort of like clowns, you know, playing with each other or something.
Absolutely.
Until things go wrong, and then they're just so befuddled they can't find anything.
Well, I tell you what, Bill Clinton is incensed because he thinks that he was promised something that he did not get from Barack Obama, and that was support from Obama for Hillary. And it is not forthcoming. And Bill Clinton's veto. And we're going to the break. We come back and continue our conversation with Colonel Danny McKnight. 407-774-8255 is the number. And come on down to the VFW Hall in Apopka for the Hobnob.
Always come with these
guys. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries live at the VFW Hall in Apopka for the Chamber of Commerce Political Hobnob tonight. And things are really getting rolling here now.
Hey, the head of the station just came down here.
That's right. Yeah, all the wigs.
Miles.
All the big wigs are here, too. And I want to thank Joe Ferrero and Big Jim Turner for their help in helping us pull off this remote broadcast. And, of course, always Nick LoCicero back on the bridge tonight getting everything done for us. All right, we got one more segment for you, and then we're going to hand the ball off to Gary Kultbaum. And just a quick program to note now. Tomorrow the Tampa Rays are playing a doubleheader. The first game should be early enough that it should not interfere with our drive time show. However, if it does, I just want to remind you, you can always find us live at am660theanswer.com. Okay, welcome back. All right, I want to go back to Colonel McKnight, because Colonel McKnight, I want to talk to you about perhaps things to look for in the future. First of all, what are you hearing about Pakistan? It seems to me things are beginning to unravel some in Pakistan. The Pakistani government has finally taken it upon themselves to fight the Taliban. But unfortunately, that may make things very volatile there.
It's also probably almost too late. Why didn't they start doing it long before now?
Right.
You know, they had Osama bin Laden running around in there in their country for a while. You know, they didn't seem to do anything about it. So if they want to rear up now, it's okay. But I'm wondering, why is it taking them so long? You know, and right now there's so much focus on still trying to handle Afghanistan. Now what's going on in Iraq? Syria, we got more things going on right now that I'm not sure Pakistan's going to be on our screen for a while.
Which, of course, makes it an even more dangerous situation.
Exactly.
Because it makes it more likely that the things are going to come apart there, too.
And then we have to react after this already happened. You're correct.
All right. Jordan. Jordan, I'm really worried about because, of course, they share a border with Iraq, Syria, and Israel. And, of course, you have ISIS right there in Iraq and Syria. Now, just days ago, ISIS took over border towns, one of them on the border with Jordan. What are your feelings about that? I mean, if Jordan goes now, the Israelis are probably going to want to take a different posture other than just sitting back and enjoying watching their enemies kill one another.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jordanian military force, though, is not bad. It's really not.
And we have people there, too, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have some, but a very small amount there. But the Jordanian force is not bad, and they especially have a good Air Force. I happen to be in the Air Command and Staff College as a major, and there's one Army guy in a seminar of 45 people, and there's two foreigners, and one of the foreign students was sitting beside me was a Jordanian colonel. And we got to know each other pretty well. And I think, you know, that was a long time ago, but I think their military is pretty stable, and I don't think they will ever run. I don't think we'll see them run. So I'd sort of have to right now say I wouldn't get too excited about it, but you get excited about losing Jordan, that would be terrible. You're right.
Let me ask you a question, Colonel. You mentioned Osama bin Laden. How much did that help us getting this man? I mean, the president's been bragging. It's probably the biggest brag of his entire presidency. How much did getting this one man, who I don't think was really involved in a lot of the stuff by the time they got him, how much did that help us?
Yeah, he really wasn't a factor by that time. You're exactly right. I think it was very important to get it done because we know he was the key individual behind 9/11. For that reason alone, I think it brought a lot of satisfaction to our country. But one of the biggest statements that was made by our president and then the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, I remember it so well, I've never forgotten it, I repeat it. We have defeated the core of Al-Qaeda. You remember that being said?
Oh, yeah, that was a campaign
when
mantra.
When that was said, Linda will vouch for this, I said, you have got to be kidding me. Only an idiot would say something like that. Because you can never defeat the core of Al-Qaeda, because every time you take one of their key guys out, there's another one stepping up right behind them. Have we noticed Al-Qaeda going away anywhere? No.
No.
That's the kind of problem we have right there.
And we had to break the sovereignty of another nation to do it.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, the RAND Corporation has done a great study showing that not only is Al-Qaeda not on the run, but there are now more Al-Qaeda affiliates than ever. 58% more terrorist organizations than just a few years ago.
And they're coming from many countries. We've even got people from the United States of America who have become members of Al-Qaeda.
That was going to be my next question to you. Obviously, we had this guy, Hassan, who is the terrorist who shot our great military personnel at Fort Hood in what's now, of course, by the administration called the Workplace Violence Act. How fearful are you that infiltrators will begin to join our military to carry out such attacks in the future?
I am very, very concerned. I have some words I was going to use, but I won't use them. But it's appalling that it could happen, but it can. And Hassan is not the only one that's acted in that manner. He's the most violent one. He killed the most. But there have been others along the way that have done the same thing.
Understanding that we have a politically correct administration, how much do you think military command is aware of that possibility?
I think they're aware of it. I just don't think they're willing to say anything about it. I hope they're doing something about it somewhere along the line, but they're not doing it openly. And I'm so concerned that, you know, they're afraid they're going to, I don't know, lose their job or something, you know. And that's what bothers me. When I know the chief of staff of the Army very well, because we went to the war college together, and I see the things that are being done, and I see us saying yes to almost everything that the higher-up people want, instead of saying, no, we can't do that. We won't do that.
Yeah.
And, I'm really concerned. And when we draw down this military, and you know the final number they're shooting for now, 420,000, and we add up to 570,000 at one time when we were fighting these wars.
Yep, yep.
I mean, all of that is going to impact on how we fight.
And, of course, it will mean lives in the future because we will not have the numbers and the capabilities that we have had. And by the way, folks, Colonel McKnight has written a great book called Streets of Mogadishu. It's about leadership. It's also about what happened in Mogadishu 20 years ago. But it's a great book, and it would be a great book for any young person in your life that you would like to instill these great values in. And it's very well written. And Colonel McKnight will send you an autographed copy if you go to DannyMcKnight.com. So I just want to remind you of that. Colonel McKnight, before we go, Lair has a question, and I'll ask you my final question is, do you think our military can hold on for another couple of years and get this guy out of office and get somebody in there who knows what they're doing?
Yeah, we'll hold on. We'll hold on, but we're going to be really, really depleted. And I won't say decimated because that's a little maybe too drastic. We're going to be depleted significantly over the next 2 years.
And
that is the goal in terms of forces and capabilities and aircraft and things of that nature. It's going to really be a depleted force. It'll probably be the most depleted force since Jimmy Carter became president.
And, of course, we're going to be facing ever more serious problems out there.
The world is the most dangerous place it's ever been today, right now. Today, at this time, this moment, it's the most dangerous place since World War II when we were fighting in Europe and in Asia at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well put. Larry, you had a question?
Yeah, Colonel, with the things you've seen in your life, you have one of the most optimistic attitudes that I've seen for what you've seen. Do you have anything you can tell the American public, any optimistic phrase, anything you can tell them that'll give them some hope that things are going to get better?
They'll get better if we are willing to do one thing, and that is be willing to make hard right decisions versus easy wrong. Elect people that are willing to stand up and say something stupid and we can't do it. Yes, there is optimism, but we are the only ones that can make it happen, each and every one of us, when we decide that we want the right people leading this country, leading our state, leading our communities. When we make that decision, we'll be okay. We'll be okay.
All we need to do is stay away from electing affirmative action presidents and elect them on their ability to actually lead and function as a chief executive of the greatest and the strongest nation in the history of this whole doggone planet. Colonel McKnight, I want to thank you once again. Great show and great information. And we'll look forward to you next time on the show. We're going to wrap it up here now in a few minutes, folks. We're going to hobnob around for a while. Then we're going to head on over to Cafe Positano, where we're going to hognog around for a while as we chow down on some great Italian food. I want to thank, of course, all you folks for listening. I want to thank Ed Roxy at Roxy Pacifics for providing some consolation prizes for you folks who didn't win the book today. Don't forget, we're going to do it all over again tomorrow.
And Roxy is doing free shipping. Well, folks, if this hobnob is showing anything as far as how people feel about politics, it's great.
Night, everybody. Just touch ground
on an international AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.